Well, Father, Lord God, I just pray right now, Lord, as we come here today, that you remind us how blessed we are to have a loving Father, that forgiveness, and to become a brand new creation. And I pray, Lord, as we sing today, Lord God, you just put it on our hearts to lift those up that are hurting right now, Lord. And we lift up those that are sick right now, Father, and we pray, Lord, that you heal them, Lord, but that you speak to them also, Father, and let them feel your love around them. Right now, Father, I just pray for Chantel, Lord, as she's just not doing well, Lord, physically, Father. We lift her up to you, Lord. We just pray that, Father, as she's ill, Lord, that she clings to you, Father, and that you give her complete peace. We also pray, Father, for our sister Nicole, Lord, and her family who just lost someone. We pray, Father, they just cling tightly to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that no matter what we're going through, Lord, we just have our trust in you and we lean onto you like you are a rock, Lord, our strong foundation, Father. And as we sing this song, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that it just reminds us that in the end, Lord, it's just us. We'll stand before you. And that what we do here on earth, Father, is a representation of you. Sometimes I think we say that, but Lord, help us understand the meaning of that, Lord. Sometimes I can feel your little, not necessarily rebukes, but reminders that the way I'm acting is not showing your light, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for your correction, Lord. And I do pray, Father, that we allow you to correct us and to love us so that when we stand before you, Father, we can hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's good enough for me.
Take my life, I lay it down at the feet of you. Lift it up to you, whose throne.
as we're worshiping, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we just feel your presence, that we can just ignore everyone else in the room, Lord God, and we just focus on us worshiping you, Lord, and asking you, Father, what do you want from us, Lord? How, we just need your guidance, Father. Speak to us like a father who is teaching his children. What's going to happen today? We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes I think, including myself especially, that we get so caught up in, you know, okay, what are we going to do next week? Or let's have our year planned for us. Or we just have all of these plans. But Father, help us to give them all up to you, Father. Help us to focus on today, Lord, and focus on living for you today, Lord. because we don't know how many hours that we have left, Father. We don't know what's going to happen, Lord, when we leave this building, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that we are just in that continuing prayer of asking your guidance and asking your forgiveness, Lord. Having that closeness and that loving relationship with you, Father. We pray, Lord, that we always have a prepared heart. And if there's anyone here right now, Lord, that doesn't know where their heart stands, that they want it to be for you, but there's so many things that they can't let go of, Father, I pray right now that you just speak to them, Lord, and let them realize that whatever they're holding on to is nothing compared to your love and your forgiveness and your freedom, Lord. I pray that they right now, Lord God, make a choice to say, I know it's hard and it's so foreign to let go of these things, but Father, I want to. I want to have a pure heart for you, Lord. Help me to do it. And that's not going to make them perfect right away, Lord, but them saying that is showing their willingness to let those things go. And that's when the work can begin, Father. Help them to see their sin. Lord, as you show me mine, loving you, Lord, and I thank you for that, Father. But once they can recognize it, they can let it go, Lord. Take these hands and lift them up.
concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in the flesh no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God.
Give you the glory, Lord. I want to be able to tell people that anything good that you've seen me, it's not me. I can't take any credit for that. Lord, I thank you that you do make us new, Lord. I thank you that I'm not the same person that I used to be, Father. And for anyone, Lord, that feels like they can't change, Lord, I pray that they can look around them right now, and anything good that they see in someone, they can realize that's what you did in that person, Father. That I'm 80% patient, Lord, which is better than 30% that I used to be, Lord. I feel like I'm a nicer person somewhat because of you, Father, and I thank you for that. And addictions don't hold me down anymore, Father, and that's all you, Lord. For anyone here right now that's struggling with addiction, Father, I can say that you have freed me, and that there's no excuse that the Lord can free you too. No matter what that addiction is, the Lord wants us to be overcomers through his strength. Father, once again, Lord, I just lift up those that are sick right now, Lord, whether it be physically or spiritually. We lift them up to you, Lord. We lift up the hurting, Father. We ask for your comfort for them, Lord. We ask for your healing, Father, whether it be a physical or spiritual one, Lord, but we need your healing right now, Lord. And then we also pray for Darren, Lord God, while he's ministering to those, Lord. Just give him the strength, Lord. Give him those loving words to say. We lift up his family to you right now, Lord God, as they work as a group just to minister to you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit just guides us today, Father.
Being a tad lazy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Pastor Darren and his family are up in Orlando for the weekend. Hopefully being fully refreshed so the Lord can continue to bless us through them. Let's see, announcements. Well, let's start with Sue.
Okay, hopefully all of you got a little questionnaire this morning. If not, there's more on the table, and Wendy Carroll has a bunch. This is about the Christmas party this year. Every year we have a Christmas party at my house. Normally we have a white elephant exchange, which is pretty funny. Tom does the emceeing of that, and he's a character, as we all know, does a great job. And we have a bonfire. We just had a lot of fun. It's a great time. We've been having it on Saturday evening, but this year we just want to get your input, whether you want it Friday night, Saturday night with a potluck, or just dessert, or Sunday after church with potluck. So we just want your input, then we'll do the majority, what the majority of the people want. We'll let you know more later. It's going to be December, either 9th, 10th, or 11th. That's in a few weeks. So we just want to get your input. If you have any suggestions about something else we might do that night, let us know. Okay. And what time you'd like it to start. We do it Saturday.
So you can put notes on your ballot.
Some positions are already filled. Adam's in charge of the bonfire. So just, when Joe'll be collecting them, or you can leave them in this box. We just want your input.
Cool. So look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm going back to the nursery.
I don't know, didn't find out until this morning. Somebody who's been fairly new to us, Chuck, Nicole and her family introduced him to us. He came down from Tennessee recently, and he passed away suddenly this week. They don't know exactly whether it was an aneurysm or what, but it was a sudden type situation, and she's trying to locate the family, and so we know something, there may be some kind of services, but when we know something, so if you keep Nicole and her family in your prayers. I talked to Chuck, he's with the Lord celebrating, but I know the Lord, I think, used Nicole and her family to be a blessing to Chuck, during these recent months, but if you'd lift them up in this coming week, I'd be grateful. And then, let's see, George has a clicker, so I'm dependent on George. What do we got for announcements this week, George?
Well, that's a good question. Let's see. Of course.
No, we're not going to do that today. We're going to be topical.
That's old.
Yeah, give me up to.
Darren usually gives me some new stuff, and he hasn't given it to me.
I'm gonna make
one note for this here. The holiday season is coming up, and the Barnabas Prison Ministry has been a writing ministry for writing to inmates. That I have a list of names over here, just sending them cards, tracts, words of encouragement, and so forth and so on. What I would like is that if you feel moved to do so, pick a name off the list that I have on the table over here and write them a Christmas card. Maybe include a little track or a little note of hope and encouragement. It would mean a lot to these guys because some of these guys have no family whatsoever, so they really have nobody that writes to them. So something from you will definitely mean something significant in their life. So if you could do that, as I said, the list is over here in front of Tom. Just pick a name. If you want to put a little check mark there by the side of the name so that I know that you picked one, I'll know who I need to pay special attention to if they didn't get picked. But just write down their address, write to them. You can use the church's address for return address if you don't want to put your own. That's fine. I would like for each one of these guys at least get something from us.
That is there any screening process that they should be mailed by a certain date and to be there before Christmas? Or is
I would think that if you get it mailed at least 7 to 10 days before Christmas, because it does have to go through the mail room and be checked and so forth before it's delivered, that should be more than sufficient enough time for them to get it.
And a quick question up front, is it all men or are there some women involved?
There are no women involved. It's all men in this particular instance.
Hey, Gary?
Yes?
Do they ever need anything like socks or different things we could send them?
We can't.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't send anything to them directly, with the exception that the church can send things like books. However, if you would like them to be able to get something through the canteen for Christmas or whatever, you can send money to them through PayPal to their inmate account, and then they can go to the canteen and take and buy something out of there. And if anybody's interested in doing that, I can give you the information.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm sure you'd like to be Chris, you got something?
On that.
Let's speak up.
On the Christmas thing, the date, unfortunately, I know for a fact how they work. They're really, really slow all the time. And Christmas time, you want to get, like, cards and stuff, like, the first week of Christmas, because it takes sometimes 2 weeks to get a letter.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sometimes it takes 10 days to get a normal letter.
Yeah, so you want to get it by the 5th or 10th
of December. Mail room is very, very slow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Would you know which ones don't have any money sent to them? Which ones?
Yes, pretty much. I do know who those are, and I can indicate those. I put a little mark by their name so that you'll know that those are individuals that don't get anything from any family because they have nobody. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's see. Regular weekly stuff Tuesday is the men's study. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 4, and weather permitting, I guess we're going to do burgers and dogs. Brats again?
Yes, we are. And Batman and Robin will be standing at the grill doing the cooking.
And we'll have a fire extinguisher nearby.
Amen. Yes.
We've got to be prepared.
Stop it.
I got a prayer support and a prayer request from Christina. She's home with Destiny, who's sick. Hunter is hospitalized again with a lung infection. It's kind of typical, you know, kind of typical thing. But Hunter asked Christina to pray for her girlfriend, Jeannie, who lives in Georgia. She was recently diagnosed with polycystic ovarian disease. They told her she may never be able to have kids, and is afraid. They are doing more tests. Now the fact that Hunter asked this. He's agnostic, so he,
Yay.
You know, that's huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Of course, second one of the kids are sick. Fifth round of antibiotics for ear infections. Considering she was for Destiny, she is scheduled for hearing evals because she failed screening in her left ear and is receiving sleep therapy. Eval is supposed to be tomorrow and now has to be rescheduled for a second time. Dues are billed. Thank you, and
Good. Okay, let's see. Thursday is barbecue and Bible study. Tom, is it your week or Darren's week?
Continue on in 1 Kings. Darren.
You're going to do 1 Kings this week?
No, he will.
He's doing 1 Kings this week. Okay. Okay, and that starts at 6 o'clock?
Correct. 6 to 7 is food, fellowship, fun, and then Bible study is from 7 to who knows when.
Okay, let's see. Is this Friday for... No? Okay, so Friday's off. Okay. Any other announcements that we have missed?
Yes. Hi, guys. Maple Pinky. You guys are all getting married the 26th. Not this Saturday. The following Saturday. Everybody at the church is invited. There's going to be a lot of us. Like, 100. So we were asking from the church if anybody would be interested in signing up for salads or just bringing something. It's not a requirement. Of course, we want you to come and celebrate. And if you are coming, could you please just RSVP,
Lisa was supposed to have a list ready for you guys, and she's not here. Just so we know what to bring as far as cupcakes and what we're bringing on our end for you guys.
Okay, is there a blank piece of paper or a pen?
I got it right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
If everybody could see Debbie Joe, just let us know if you're coming, how many are coming, if you're bringing something, if you're not, and we hope you guys are all there.
Where is it?
Here.
At 2.
2
p.m.
2 p.m.
Of course.
No, we're not. And that's all.
It's a celebration.
Please be comfortable. If you're coming, don't wear a crazy dress and shoes. Just be yourself and be comfortable, please. We don't want anybody, like, uncomfortable all day.
Yeah, Billy.
Prayer request.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm RSVPing. Linda, she has been here a couple times only with her two little ones. Mm-hmm. And her youngest just went through surgery on Friday, and she's recovering, so if you could keep her in prayer. She is doing well, though. The surgery went well, and she is at home now. Her name is Linda.
Would you want to look her up now?
Sure.
Of course.
Father, we thank you for just giving us this freedom and wonderful privilege to gather and worship you here today, Lord. And we do pray for those who do not have this privilege, that they are encouraged. And I wanted to lift up Linda to you, Lord, and her little ones. We do thank you so much that you did protect her little one while she was in the hospital on Friday, and that she was able to come home so early. We do pray for comfort for her physically, Lord, that she can heal quickly. We pray for Linda. Give her strength, Lord, and encourage her. And she so wanted to be here today. And we thank you for that beautiful desire that she has inside, Lord. We just pray that you fill those desires, Lord. And give her the strength and courage to be the mother of these two beautiful children. And give her the wisdom and plenty of rest. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thanks, Lisa. Would you?
Lord, we lift up Destiny and Billy Johnson. I just ask you to build up their immune systems and strengthen them all over, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I ask you to see an added extra strength as well. Work.
Before I get into our message this morning, let me turn this time over to the Lord. Father, as we sang this morning, we're nothing without you, Lord. And so, Father, I don't have any words for those body believers, Lord, but you do. And so I ask that your words would come through clearly, precisely, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, touching us where we need to be touched. Father, if I get off track and say something that you don't want said, Lord, please close my mouth, Lord, or make it so that nobody hears what I'm saying. Because this should just be your word for your people. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do through your word, that it does not come back void. We thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. About a year ago, Lord put it on my heart that he wanted me to do a message on a subject that more like tithing. Yeah, exactly. That was my response. Oh, no. And I wrestled with God for a number of days, and we all know how that works out after. And he's unchanging, and eventually, you know, your hip is out of socket, and he wins. And about 3 weeks ago, you know, he told me it was time. But, you know, frankly, I look at tithing as a blessing. And I tell you why. And that, you know, we can look at God's commands or his instructions as either blessings or burdens. And, you know, we can say, okay, yeah, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, I can't do this anymore. Or we can realize, yeah, I can't do this anymore, but it keeps me from, you know, illness and heartache and hurting the people around us. You know, so I look at God's instructions as a blessing rather than a curse. You know, you don't have time in that, but it occurred to me, and especially now with Thanksgiving, probably would be wise, you know, this afternoon sometime, take 10 minutes and just ask the Lord to reveal to you, you know, some of the blessings that he's poured out in your life just recently, maybe just this week. And then consider, you know, where do they come from? Right? They come from him. And, let's see. The Bible says more about money than it does about heaven. I think there's a reason, because with money you can tell where a person's heart is. And that a factoid, according to the Barna Group, about 12% of believers tithe. Only 12% of believers. Right. Yeah. Something that comes up often. Yeah. A lot of people say, well, I don't tithe today. Tithing is Old Testament. We're not commanded to tithe in the New Testament. And the truth is that they are absolutely right. We are not commanded to tithe in the New Testament. That was under the law. The law passed at the cross. However, Jesus wants us to give. God is a giver. God is the ultimate giver. Right? I think everyone here wants to be a little more like our Savior, right? We're supposed to become disciples, right? The Great Commission. Right? How do we, you know, part of becoming disciples means becoming like the person that we're the disciple of, which means we would be a giver. Today, if you feel anything I say is condemnation, please see me afterwards so I can apologize to you. Because I don't mean that at all. That's not what this is about. This is not about condemnation. However, you know, the Lord may convict you, in which case you want to go to him to work it all out. Let's go to Malachi 3. It's a passage that Elliot snapshot. Anyone need a Bible? Don't have a hard copy or one of those electronic versions? Or you can't hear the rustling of pages? We need young people, write an app for rustling pages for Bibles. Yeah. Hey, come on, folks, quiet. Rebecca, you need to talk louder.
That's exactly.
Oh.
I friend used to say, hey, it wasn't the color side of the positive payment. So I would say hi, and then like, offering. I'm like, okay. So, but I just use the 10% as like a guideline.
We're going to get into that.
So you're talking about.
We are going to get into that. Yeah.
Don't like that.
You know, as a matter of fact, if you have a comment, you know, throw it out. Yeah, hang on to questions. I do want to do kind of a Q&A thing toward the end. Okay, because I know people have. Okay, does anybody, I would prefer if we do it in the NIV, does anybody have an NIV that could read for us?
Chapter 1.
Yeah? Okay. Malachi 3, beginning in, let's see, beginning in verse 6 through 12, including 12. Yeah, Malachi 6 through 12. Malachi 3, 6 through 12. Man. I'll get those right there. I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. I must make the end of the walk this message to get out.
I, the Lord, do not change. To you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all your nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
Good, thank you. That's the part that we, most of us, if you've been in church for a while, hear occasionally the kind of messages. I think it makes a little more sense, though, if you put it in context. Okay. Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament, okay, and he's one of the minor prophets. At that time, the Jewish people were grumbling. They were saying, Lord, you've been promised that you were going to come for a long time. Where are you? Bad people, they're getting rich. They're living high. I was going to say high off the hog. They're probably not good considering poor. But, you know, and we're struggling. Where are you? And so the Lord comes in here, and he's saying, well, you've all, it's not just those people that you're pointing out as bad have left me. You've left me too. And so they say, well, what is the way back? And the Lord says, well, the way back is through the tithe. We're going to do verse by verse, but before we do, a couple things. You know, the question, how much should you give? That question, the tithe is Old Testament. Actually, in the Old Testament, there were three tithes, and they totaled as much as 30%, depending on which year it was. And in the New Testament, we're not under a command. We're free to give as much or as little as we want. However, you know, what does it say? If you reap sparingly, you will sow sparingly. If you reap generously, you will harvest generously. I got it backwards?
Yeah.
Good
numbers.
Okay. Good, translate in your mind into English. You know, I'm not doing this today because the church is short of money. Okay? You know, we could use, you know, we can always come up with things to do with resources. But, you know, you look at how the Lord has already blessed us over the last couple of years. And, you know, there's more people here than ever before. You know, we managed to put the portable in, you know, the little courtyard in, started a school.
Playground,
yeah, yes. All of that stuff. And that, you know, the Lord's been generous with us. A fact that many of you maybe don't know. Pastor Darren doesn't know what you give. We purposely keep that from him. And that's so he does not know. Because he should not minister based on how much or how little somebody gives. He needs to minister as the Lord leads him. And so if you don't give much and you go, oh gosh, I can't go to Darren, you know, he's not going to want to spend any time with me, get that out of your mind because that's not the way it is. And if you give a lot and you think that Darren should defer to you, well, don't be upset when he doesn't. No. Why don't we take an offering? Recently, somebody who visited a couple times said, I don't understand. How am I supposed to give to your church? You don't take an offering. You don't pass a plate. Well, we didn't want anybody to come into our body and think that it's all about money. And unfortunately, there probably are some churches where they want seats in the pews because of the size of the offering plate. That's sad. We didn't want that. So, you know, we instituted a little bird box in the back. And I don't know, it's symbolic that you know, the Lord said he would take care of the birds of the air. You know, how much more would he take care of us? I don't know. Good question. Stewardship. What is stewardship? It's really, we're only stewards of what's here. It all belongs to the Lord, right? I mean, Genesis tells us, God created the heavens, the earth, all the animals and stuff in it, and us. Right? If you make something, you own it. So what we have is just on loan from God. And the truth is that once we go, once we leave this earth, he'll give it to somebody else. And I'm in the middle of handling two estates right now. And that distributing those assets. And that, so what is a steward? Well, a steward, the easiest way to think of it probably is a steward is like an apartment manager. Okay? He doesn't own the apartment building, but he makes decisions about plumbers, electricians, raise rents, lower rents, whatever, and that acting on behalf of the apartment owner. And we're a steward of what the Lord trusts us. I think that's freeing. Because that means if my IRA or 401k takes a hit next week, well, it's the Lord's money. It's the Lord's loss. Not mine. He's promised to take care of me. You know, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't pay attention and be a good steward and take care of the finances. But the loss is his. It's not mine. It's also God's to defend. There's bad guys out there who want to steal your money. Heaven help them because they're stealing from God. And that strikes me, you know. When you see the movies where they do a whole 2 hours on, you know, somebody who steals from a drug dealer, and, you know, he spends the next, you know, 2 hours of the movie trying to run away so they can't catch him. And sooner steal from a drug dealer than from God.
There ain't no rest
for the wicked. Amen. Amen. Okay, now let's get specifically into Malachi 3. Verse 6. Okay. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. This message is specifically for believers. That means you and I here today. Verse 7. People say, you know, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? What's the roadmap back? What's the roadmap back? And the Lord answers very directly, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how did we rob you? In tithes and offerings. God is very direct. He tells us that if we return to him, he gives us a promise that he will return to us. Right? It's a conditional promise, but it is a promise. We can take it to the bank. God doesn't violate his promises, and he makes them. You can bet he's going to keep them. Right. How are we to return? Well, that's a good question, right? I mean, isn't it a question that most of us have asked at one or another time in our lives? I'm separated from God. What's the way back? What's the way back? I think it comes with finances. The tithe is interesting if you think about it, right? If the Lord basically gives us 100% to manage, right, and then says, give me 10% back so I have it in my storehouse, right? What he's saying is that 10% of what he's given us, he wants back, right? So really, it's not like we're giving him anything. It's all his to begin with. We're just borrowing it, borrowing 90% of it. Is really what's happening here. And again, you know, we're not commanded to tithe today. But the question is, where is our heart and where is our faith? Is this not frankly tithing? It ain't about money. It's simply not about money. It's about faith. And I think if we ask ourselves, why does God place such a high emphasis on how we handle money, our finances? It's because it's a great way to judge. It's a great way for us to realize how we feel, how our faith is growing and not growing. Verse 9. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. What does a curse look like? Let me just repeat that. What's a curse look like? I'm sorry?
That's when the tree is falling. produce about half their fruit instead of the whole amount, and plant your garden, and it gets diseased, and you don't get the crops that you hope to after putting all your sweat and time into it. Your relationships don't seem to prosper because you're just not being blessed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the opposite of what you want when you pray for blessings every day is that, you know, Lord bless me, and He doesn't bless you. Well, there may be reasons for that, you know, because your heart isn't in the love you have for people and the love you have for your church or the love you have for your country.
You know, have you heard people say that they've been, you know, cursed with bad health? Or, you know, I've been cursed with this or cursed with that. Interesting. If you go to the Hebrew, and that the Hebrew for curse is an excretion. Excretion, that's the word you don't use every day, right? So I went to look at the English definition for excretion. The process of eliminating waste matter. Now let your minds work over that. That's what a curse is like. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's one way of putting it. I didn't want to be the one to do it, but that's one way of putting it. Well, you know, you think about it, though, right? If we stress about money, okay, that there's if we worry about money, it causes stress. Stress is a major cause of heart attacks.
Yes.
Right? It causes, you know, hormones, fight or flight hormones. I forgot to do it. To be released. Well, those are meant to be released in short doses. If we're worried about money continually, because it's mine, you're going to get your hands on it. And then that releases those hormones 24/7. And they're actually harmful to us over the long term. If you look at the studies, they'll tell you that, you know, usually it's number one or number two cause of divorce, money issues. How many friendships have been broken up over money?
Yep.
Sounds like curses to me. Ask the question, that is the curse from God? Right? Is it God that's cursing me? He said, well, you're a stingy son of a gun. Well, I'm going to beat down on you. I don't think so. I think a better way to look at it is if you had a 13-year-old child, right, that wanted the car keys to, you know, your new car with 300 horsepower. Would you give the kid the keys?
No.
And why not?
Nope.
I guess it wouldn't work out well. It wouldn't work out well, right? If you had a child, friend, relative, you know, who was dealing with addiction issues. Would you give them money? Because you know where it's going to go. It's going to go to hurt them. It's not helping them. I think the Lord knows if you know, the parable of the talents, you know, think about that. If, you know, if we're not good at handling money, I think the Lord knows giving us more money is setting us up for failure. It looks like a curse in the world, but right. For him it's actually a blessing. On to verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, in biblical times, the temple actually had basically a food pantry, and that was how the priests were fed. They were fed out of the food pantry because they didn't get an allotment of land that could be farmed like the other tribes. So the tribe of Levi was eating out of the food pantry. And it was also used for the poor, the destitute, the widows, orphans, all of that. Now, what's that like today? Right? We don't have a food pantry here, although, you know, we have passed out food. Jared's not here today, so we don't have an era stuff, but we can't move on.
Electricity.
Well, okay, that's, how do we use it, okay? We use it for the utilities on this building, property taxes, right? We use it to buy, you know, books that get handed out here. Right?
Support missionary work.
Right.
We do it to support missionary work, thank you.
Yep.
And that, everybody, I'm, you know, probably interested. Pastor Darren gets a small salary. But truthfully, if we paid them on an hourly basis, the Florida Department of Labor would be sending somebody to jail. I hope it's not me. And that, you know, it's just a small amount. It really should be twice what it is. And then to be candid and don't... Yeah, I can say this and that. We had to fight with him to get him to take that. And that. Lisa gets nothing for, you know, what she does with the school. You know, we're phenomenally blessed as a body.
And you care for those in need, the church.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we certainly try.
Yes.
And that when somebody in the body, you know, needs some short term help to get through whatever, and that we try to be there for them. And it's been, by the way, well, Ron, it's okay to ask if you need help. It's okay to ask. And that there's nothing wrong. You know, that's very New Testament. You know, they talk in Acts that, you know, they supported, they helped each other. Okay. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this. I thought, didn't Jesus say when he was being tempted by the devil after the 40-day fast that, you know, you don't put the Lord your God to the test? This is the one and only place in the Bible where the Lord says to test me. Okay, in this day, you've got to ask yourself, okay, well, what, is God doing a little trash talk in here? come on, test me.
Bring it.
Yeah, it's like, wow, okay, this is from God, though, this thing. Bring it, right? Well, why would God challenge us? Why would God challenge us that way, to test him? I think it's to help grow our faith.
Sure.
Would that be a measure of faith?
I'm sorry?
Would that be a measure of faith?
Yeah.
Raise the bar.
Well, you know, you think about it. Okay. God says, take me up on this. Take me up on this. Let me prove to you that I am who I am. Which is interesting, too, because depending on translation, he specifically identifies himself as the Lord Almighty or the Lord of Hosts. Which is kind of, I think, his way of going, yes, I can do it. Underline. And that, you know, I can keep this, you know, you will not win this test. I will win this test. You will not have it wrong. Yeah, Mary.
New King James uses the word try me. Mm-hmm. And I think of the word try as putting something to the test to see how strong it is. And will it hold up?
Mm-hmm.
And so really he's telling us, I want you to try me and see how I'll hold up under this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will I come through for
yes.
you?
Yes.
And I think that in our Christian walk, growing as we grow in the Lord, it's a series of testing or trying the Lord. He says to do this, and we take a step out in obedience, and what we're doing is we're trying the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is coming through for us, and what that does is increase our faith. So our faith is tremendously increased when our money is being stretched beyond
Amen.
What we even imagine it could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tom and I had experienced that when we were first married. We were very young in the Lord, and the Lord had us go to Christian financial counseling, and of course tithing was a part of it, and going on a budget and everything. It was hard, but we did it. And we found out that by following the Lord's rules and not the law, and by doing it His way, there was more money than we ever imagined. Things were getting done that we couldn't believe we were able to get done because we tried or tested the Lord. And I think that's what the problem is. A lot of people don't want to try or test the Lord.
Some people
think that's a noble thing to do. I'm not going to test the Lord. Well, you know what? It's something He says to
do. No, this is a straight... You know, this is a straight command from Him. Test me. Test me. He wants us to do this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room. Wrap my head in duct tape because this is going to explode. I can't figure this out. Right? But God, right, the God that created the heavens and the earth, right, makes Santa Claus look like a piker. I didn't mean that to be disrespectful. The point being, though, if God can create everything, right, how much is it possible for him to bless us? And he's saying, I'm going to bless you so much that you can't even hold it. And now, I think we need to clarify, you know, what do blessings look like? Because they're not always financial. They're not always. I mean, Mary Kate and I were blessed last night to spend time with friends. And, you know, she's free. She was diagnosed with melanoma a while back, and she's free now. She's free. You know, they tested and she's cancer free. That's a blessing.
Yes.
Right? You can't put a dollar sign on that. You know, healthy children. You know, there's so many blessings. And this is as good a time as other to mention it. You know, these blessings not only are not always financial in that, but and Darren agrees with this, we've talked about it, seriously reject the people that think God is a magical ATM. And that where, you know, you put $5 in and, you know, you're going to get $50 back. It don't work that way. That's not what he's saying. He's saying he will pour out a blessing. He's saying he doesn't say he will pour out a financial blessing. It doesn't say that. You know, you can tithe and still struggle financially. And that, but the Lord will make a way so that you're able to handle the struggle without breaking under it. And that, and people that, you know, make promises with that. You know, I remember, I think Mark Ewell was me a few years ago. You know, there was some stuff going on up in Lakeland that was drawing attention. And a few guys said, you know, said, well, let's go up there and see what's going on. And it looked like good stuff was going on until they got to taking an offering. You know, it's like, well, I'm not telling you to do this, but, you know, the Lord told me to put, you know, to seed in $100. And then, you know, the next week, I got $500 back. And he told me, you know, and, you know, I looked at it and said, That's wrong. Well, you know, sure enough, a few months later, there was some serious sin in that ministry that came out. That's not the way the Lord works. And that, so if you tithe with the expectation that you're going to put $10 in the bird box, and, you know, and a mystery check for $100 is going to show up the next week, I suspect that you're going to be disappointed.
Okay, so there are times that I've heard where that did happen.
Yes.
But the idea is not to do it for that reason.
Anticipate.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there are times that money will come out of nowhere. Like someone that borrowed $100, $200 years ago comes knocking at your door and, oh, here's your money. Like, where did you come from? You know, and that is possible, but that doesn't need to be our aim. And we have a problem in this country with focusing on money as if that means that you're doing well and that means that God is blessing you, when there are some really blessed dirt poor people. And there's some really rich people that I wouldn't really call blessed, actually.
Yeah,
so it's not that it's not possible, but definitely don't do it for that reason, because if you do, God's probably not going to do that for you, because that's giving you the wrong impression.
And I think the difference is where's your heart? Where's your heart? If your heart is, I'm only doing it to get more money.
Right.
I'm sorry, your heart's in the wrong place. Your faith is in the wrong place. Your faith is still in the dollar bill. It isn't in the Lord.
Right.
And, I mean, it's just true. You know, I think some people, riches can be a curse. It really can, especially if you don't know how to do it. Yeah, I mean, I remember when they first started the Florida lottery, right, the guy who won the first Florida lottery, I forget how many million dollars it was, right? You're like, oh, this guy's set for life.
He broke in 6 months.
Feet up and everything's copacetic.
Yeah, right? When he started.
No, they interviewed him about 5 years later, and you'll never guess what he was doing. All his money was gone. His friends, family, people that he'd never seen before. Oh, yeah, I'm Cousin Billy Joe. You know, can you swing me this, that, or whatever? He was cleaning restrooms on the Florida Turnpike to make a living. all the way to this
corner. Which is okay, but...
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
It didn't solve all those problems.
Yeah. It actually was a curse because it caused people to come out and they looked at him as a piggy bank.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, he got $1 million. He can afford to give me $100. What's that?
Like a little one plus, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it became a problem for it. Okay. What do you think is real wealth? What is real wealth? You want to say something, Mark, huh? Oh, wow, okay. I caught you unawares. Wow, okay. Okay.
I think real wealth... Real wealth is being blessed by God by having Him indwell each one of us. Mm-hmm. And that's what it means in the New Testament. Blessed are you because the God of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, mm-hmm. our Savior, Lord, dwells inside of each one of us. What greater blessing could there possibly be? And the answer is, there ain't one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, grace, that's the ultimate well, grace. And grace can't be taken from me, it can't be stolen from me, unlike money.
Right.
You can't buy it either.
I want to read this verse.
Yes, ma'am.
If I may. It's Luke 6:38. A give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, shaken together, and running over.
Amen.
I don't know what the verse is, but it says to serve our treasures in heaven, where moth and thieves are not destroyed, you haven't taken them.
To store up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. And I work at a jewelry store, and I have almost, it's like every other customer tells me they were robbed of the jewelry.
Really?
Very, very common.
We have to go to the store, it's dangerous.
We don't rob them when they're there.
Nice.
So it's really cool though, because like I feel like that verse has become quite alive to me. Because those people put a lot of trust in their treasures, and especially women, they like to talk about their Bibles forever, like I really care. And then it just gets taken, and it's gone, and they can't replace it because they don't have the money again. And it's like a great opportunity for me to talk about the Lord, like, hey, you know, the Word says to store up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal, because that's the only kind of things, the things that are eternal are the only things that last. So that's what we need to be sowing into. So if a little bit of my money can help me get those things, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, think of the story of the rich young ruler. He had, you know, he had the stuff, and I can't give up the stuff. Okay, verse 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not pass their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. And I'm not a farmer, but understand cast their fruit means basically let it drop.
Before it's time.
Yeah, before it's time. Before it's ripe. It goes to waste.
Yep.
It looks like it was going to be a promising crop, and all of a sudden some of it disappeared. Yeah, right? But I will prevent pests. Right? So now, yeah, I'm no pesticide expert, but it strikes me, I'd rather have God than Oregon. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, I think, you know, we need to ask ourselves, you know, have we ever been in a situation where, man, I don't know where the money goes. It just disappears. You know, I get to the 25th of the month and I'm always out of money. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it could be, you know, that we have, you know, pests stealing it and God isn't wiping out those pests. It could be. I don't know. Maybe not.
You know,
she's not even a teenager yet.
Yeah.
Your time is coming, girl. Yeah, Mark.
No, verse 11 is a direct answer to verse 9. It says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation. But verse 11 says what he will do to break the curse. And that is, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that you may not destroy, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, or the vine of the field, or the grapes, says the Lord. And that curse is like it was back in Genesis, when, you know, you will work to, you know, the sweat of your brow, and it will now come hard to you, and all of these different things. And he's saying that he will be the one that will rebuke the curse. He will be the one that is your provider, because it says that in Philippians 4:19. He's our provider. He will do what he says he will do if we're willing and obedient. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what verse 11 is saying.
Yeah, that's right. Verse 12. That all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. When we're at peace with the Lord, we're noticeable to other people. They look and they go, boy, I don't know, God keeps blessing this guy. What's this about? He keeps blessing this girl. Why is that? And it's a witness. It's a witness. And again, it's not always financial. You know, sometimes it's, you know, there's certain people that, like, yeah, they don't, you know, they don't have a lot of financial things, you know, physical things, and that, and yet they're always happy, they're always trusting, they're full of faith. They're full of faith. And that's a witness. It's a witness to us, and it's certainly a witness to my
God meets their needs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's why people don't tithe? And we have this section here. I can't afford to give. Can't afford to give. And I understand. I mean, you know what is it? I mean, it's been 5 years. Let's see if I can state this right. In the last 5 years, people's take-home pay, on average, has actually declined. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting raises in this world is not an easy thing, not a frequent thing. I understand it's, you know, the bills, you know, grocery bills keep going up. You know, I don't know where they get the inflation numbers from. I think they're making them up.
Food isn't included.
I'm saying
food is not included.
That explains it.
Gas.
Well, I mean, gas is like it's $2, it's $4, it's $2, it's $4. You know, it depends on. Well, that's a different issue. You won't go there. Yeah. But if that's what's going through somebody's mind, the answer, I think, is to ask the Lord, okay, where can I find a few dollars to give? Or a few dollars to give. Not jumping into time.
A few isn't enough, right?
No. The question...
I hear 10%. I'm just...
I get that. And then ask the Lord where you could buy $10 a week. $10 a week. And then try him in that. Test him in that. Test him from where you are. A little more than you are now. You don't have to go from 0 to 60 like that. You don't have to go from 0 to 5. And that. I understand that. That's a big leap in faith. Especially if your budget's tight. I get that. Just a, you know, just a few dollars a week. Ask them where can that money come from? Does it come from, you know, some expense I can eliminate, or does it come from bringing in some extra money? It's to see what he does. Test him in that.
Right.
Another reason is.
I have to say, I really, really disagree.
Okay.
I think the key is for me, and I think it's a pretty good key, is that you give first, even if it's going to be $10. Mm-hmm. You get your paycheck, it's just like savings. If you don't do it first, it doesn't happen. You put that money aside, that's the money for the Lord. Then you make your budget.
Yeah. Actually, Nicole, you're right, and I fully agree. And I presented it. I presented it, and I didn't mean to present it quite that way. Because a part of giving, if you go to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4, and actually, no, I'll just give you real quick. What it says is that you can go back to it later, and it will run along. And that giving should be regular, you know, shouldn't be, okay, yeah, well, I gave once last May. It should be planned. You should plan ahead of time how much you're going to give. Even if you don't know exactly what your income is going to be, make your best guess on it. You know, I mean, you know, my income varies. It just does. And that. So, you know, you take a guess at where it's going to be, and then you make adjustments. And it should be proportional. It should be proportional to what you make, and it should be private. It's basically between you and the Lord and the IRS. So, yes, Nicole is absolutely right. It should be planned ahead of time. And there's also the principle of first fruits. And that you know, it's part of what was going on in the time of Malachi was that, you know, people were, it's like, well, let's see, I got 10 sheep. I need to give one to the Lord. Well, there's that lame one over there. You can't reproduce him anyway. That was the one they were bringing in. And that's not supposed to be that way. And part of the reason for the first fruits, and again, I'm not a farmer, but my understanding is that the first crop, the very beginning, is also the best. It's the better crop. You know, it's sweeter, it's tastier, you know, it's better. And that's Nicole is absolutely right. A lot of people say they make too much to give. Right. I got to admit, I find that humorous. And if you're making $10,000 and you're tithing, you're trying to live on $9,000, right? If you make $1 million and you give $100,000 and you can't live on $900,000, I find that a little hard to believe. Great story I heard when I was in study. Pastor, you know, a guy came into the pastor and said, I got to find this making some money. I can't afford to tithe anymore. Right? And the pastor says, well, should we pray for an answer? And the pastor said, well, yeah, you pray for an answer. Pastor, Lord, would you please reduce his income to a level where he can afford to
tithe? Yeah, okay.
But it's sort of like that. You know, another reason people give is that, you know, the church just, you know, they just want it for themselves. You know? They want to make, you know, the pastor wants a bigger house. They want to build a bigger church. You know, they just want it for themselves. In some places, they may be true. And frankly, if you ever felt like that was the case here, please talk to Darren or somebody. And tell us that's how you feel. And that.
So, when I just tried to get a phone call to someone at school, and I forgot their names, I was just trying to look for it, but I would say younger brother and older brother. So, in the story, there was a younger brother and an older brother, and it was Adam and Eve's
children. All seven.
Yeah. So Cain and Abel. So when Cain gave his offering, because the whole point was to teach the kids that when you do things for God, and you do it because you do what He wants, not what you want. So Cain, he went to his vegetables and he brought a whole bunch of vegetables up to the offering. But Abel, he picked the best lamb. And he offered that to God. And Cain was so mad because God accepted Abel's offering and not his. But what he didn't understand was when Abel gave, he gave because that's what God wanted. He gave the best for God. And Cain, he gave what he wanted to give. And he thought, you know, like, oh, God's going to, of course, accept mine because I gave him the best vegetables from the garden. His best vegetables. But Abel, he didn't give because he wanted to be the best. He didn't give to get something in return. He gave because he just wanted to please God. And I think that's really, like, when you give, don't give because the Bible's saying, hey, you have to give. And don't give because you feel guilty. Give because you want to please God.
Be a joyful giver.
Yes.
Good word. Okay. Good word. Good word. Okay. What's in the blessing? Talk about God pouring out a blessing. Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, there's an eternal reward. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. You know, we talked about it earlier. Nor thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Blessing, giving, changes your personality. Matthew 8:20. And Jesus said to them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, Jesus didn't have worldly possessions. He was a giver. We're to become like him. We should become givers. It changes our personality. It reveals our spirituality. If you go to John 12, that's the passage where Mary anoints Jesus, you know, with the oil. And they go, oh, that's a year's wages. What are you doing? She revealed her spirituality. Giving prepares you for ministry. Matthew 25:21 talks about the parable of the talents. You know, we all know that passage. In that passage too, the parable of the talents. Right? If I'm not good with finances, God's money, why would God trust me to minister to His children? His children are infinitely more valuable to Him than money. God doesn't need our money. So if I can't be trusted, I don't do a good job with money, why would he trust his children? Giving transforms your priorities. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it sanctifies your work or your job. If you're working, it's interesting. If you give on a regular basis, whether it be a tithe or not, if you give on a regular basis, you realize that part of what your work is so that you have money to give to the Lord's work. And that puts Him in your work experience. It will change that. Some common questions that people ask about tithe. Can I fulfill my tithe by helping or giving to others? The answer is yes, you can. Tithing isn't just about a dollar amount. And it really, it's tithe. In fact, this message really shouldn't have been described as a tithing message. It's a giving message. You can give up your tithe. And you can give up your money. And it's not even about the 10% as we talk. It's about being generous with what the Lord's entrusted to you. And I do suggest, where possible, and that it is good to give it through the church, though. And that, if one individual gives to another individual, the person receiving feels obligated to the person who's given, and they're likely to think higher of them than they might otherwise. It really is better if it flows from the church, and that's who the Lord gives the credit. Because the Lord knows how to handle the credit. I don't. You start thinking too highly of me, I'm going to get a swelled head, then we're all going to, then I'm going to be in trouble. So it's better if it goes to the church. What happens if your spouse doesn't want you to tithe? That's a tough one. Yeah. And there's no one answer that's right for every couple. I would suggest, one, talk about it. Talk about why it's important. Ask the person whether they'd be willing to test God. Could be an amazing witness to them if they're willing to do it. They probably say, no, I don't want to take my money back if they take your time on Sunday mornings. Grumbles. And that would leave you in a position where if you can't convince them, you might be able to tithe out of a personal allowance. A lot of couples, it's like, okay, well, you get $20 a week and spend it however you want. That's your fun money. You could tithe out of that. Try to tithe out, give more out of your time. This is one reason why we're told to be unequally yoked. I would suggest, ultimately, going to the Holy Spirit and asking the Lord what to do in your case. Because the Lord knows your heart, the Lord knows your spouse's heart, and He'll give you the right answer.
Absolutely. I was always taught growing up, too, the difference between tithing and more of an offering. Mm-hmm. Tithing is
what we explain that, because I think I know where you're going.
I just had it where the tithing is what would go to the Lord, to the church and distribute like that. If you wanted to help out, say, a fellow brother or sister of the church as an offering, that was kind of separate. That's what I was talking about. Yeah. I know that.
Well, there's a lot of churches that teach that you should bring the tithes into the church, and that because they should bring the tithes into the storehouse. You know, they're and anything above that, everything above that is an offering. And that, so if I, you know, give to the, missionaries, and that's part of offering, it doesn't fulfill my tithe. And that, but I actually don't think that's correct. I think that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. I really
wanted to say.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah.
Make the church keep track of it. God.
Okay, what about giving the tithe to other churches or ministries? It's a similar question. I think, you know, you seek the Lord's guidance, okay? I mean, it strikes me that, you know, you should give when you're fed. I mean, last night, we tipped the waitress or the server at our table, not the server from another table, right? And I don't know if that's a bad analogy or not, but the point is, you know, I mean, if this is where you come for spiritual sustenance, right, and it makes sense that this would be, you know, where you would want to sow in. You know, because hopefully, if you're being fed here, you believe in what's happening here, then, you know, why would you give, you know, not that you wouldn't give nothing to anybody else, but why would a major portion of giving go somewhere else that, you know,
well, you give to the missionaries.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. But I think a large portion of your giving should be, you know, with your home church.
Sure.
God wants us to give outside the church, you know, too. I mean, you know, he talks about the homeless and the needy and the what have you. But he doesn't want us to reach our hand over the church in order to give, you know, to those people. We also need to give to each other and support, you know, our fellow Christians and reach out to these other things. It's all about balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Rebecca?
Go over the verse about the cheerful giver.
No, we did. But yeah, I have verses, and we're already 10 after.
Well, it covers a lot.
But no, go. I've justified wives and lazy.
It covers a lot of the difference between the tithing in the Old Testament and what God's asking in the New Testament. This is like the one verse that I always think of. So 2 Corinthians 9:7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that makes it really simple. Like, there's no amount, there's no set amount, even with the tithing. And the reason I do tithe is just because I think it's simple. And they did it in the Old Testament, so I think it's a good example. But I don't think that I'm tied to that. I think I can give more and I can give less, but to be doing it because I want to, not because I have to. Because if you do it begrudgingly, I don't know how much of a blessing you're really going to get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that ultimately, well, I hope everybody gets out of this mess, but we'll give Eric a minute.
I do have a question on that begrudgingly part, because I think that, you know, it's just like when, you know, Peter, you know, wanted to walk on the water and, you know, he got out of the boat and, no, sorry, that's the wrong Bible story. The story where he goes, you know, where he goes, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So here's my question, is giving cheerfully and, oh, yay, I can't wait to give this money, when you're really just doing it out of faith. I mean, does it really, if we're not feeling super cheerful about it in the beginning, does that mean that we're missing out on the blessing because we're just trying to do it, Lord, because you said to do it? Can that just be a starting spot?
Yeah.
You know, if we're not super excited about it, can we not go, okay, Lord, I'm doing this because you say it in your word, and then watch and see, and then maybe he will help the cheerful giving come?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or do we have to start cheerfully giving?
No, you can start as obedient. You can start as obedient, but the Lord, you know, but what will happen there, I think, is if you start in obedience, you put the Lord to the test, right? And he's going to keep his promise, and you're going to, oh my goodness, look at this. He kept his promise,
and now you're cheerful.
Yeah.
By the way, that word in the Greek is what we know today as hilarious.
Yeah. What's hilarious?
The word that we know is translated as cheerful here, and that if you take the Greek, the root word is the word that the root for the word that we use is hilarious today. But notice to start out of obedience. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I have looked this up quite a bit, and in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, I think just nails it. And Jesus is in the temple, and he said he looked up and saw the rich putting in their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor woman putting in two small copper coins. Mm-hmm. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put more in than all of them, for they gave out of their surplus. Put their offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. It's a matter of attitude. Is it? She gave out of an attitude of gratitude, and they gave in an attitude of, I'm told I have to give 10%, and that's what I'm going to give. And that's the difference. It's a matter of the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's remember, that's where we started.
Yep.
And that, you know, how do we return to you, God? How do we come back to you? And that we come back to you this way. That we're out of time. And that, but I want to close with a thought. You know, what did God give us? Right? John 3:16. God gave us his only son that we would be united with him, or be with him for eternity. And if God gave us that much, whether I'm giving 10%, 20%, or $1 a week, whether I'm giving 10 hours in service, 40 hours, or no time at all, wouldn't I be wise to try to see if I could give a little more? He gave it all. I think, and not out of obligation, it's just not a commandment. And that, but how can we not love a God that gives us so much and not honor him by wanting to give a little more back to him than we are now? And I don't know, it just strikes me that that's, you know, where our hearts should be. Father, Lord, we thank you that you tell us what the roadmap is to come back to you, Lord. You show us how we can increase our faith. You show us how we can be more like our Savior, be good disciples, Lord. When we have questions that we need to answer, because sometimes the questions are a little bit difficult, a little bit complicated. Lord, we thank you that you loved us while we were still unlovable, enough to give us so much. Father, I ask that you'd help each one of us become more like our Savior Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great, blessed week, and don't shoot the messenger.